Good morning. My name is Dave Redbond, and it's my privilege to share from the Word of God today. And we continue with our theme for the year of Gripped by Grace. We have all no doubt been impacted as we have been watching on our television the scenes unfold as people and the nation have come to pay respects to the late Queen Elizabeth II, who passed away suddenly. And we cannot help but be amazed at the way in which her life has touched so many lives. Indeed, as a follower of Jesus, she has declared constantly how that her life was one of service and one of dedication, and that she was following Jesus and fulfilling the purpose and the plan that he had for her life. As we've listened to people, they have borne witness to the fact that she has touched and impacted many lives. And although she has now gone to receive her reward in heaven, we are reminded that there is a lasting legacy that continues to live on in the lives of those people that she has touched and that she has influenced. And I want us to today look at that theme of a lasting legacy and ask the question, what sort of legacy are we leaving? How are we impacting people? What influence are we having? How are we demonstrating the love of Jesus in the world in which we live? Are we following him? And as a result of following him, are we touching other people's lives and becoming a signpost that point them to Jesus? I want to look at a man who had a big impact upon the early church. He was in some respects a leader, and yet at the same time he was prepared to relinquish his position as others began to become more influential and of greater importance within the leadership of the church. And his name was Barnabas. We're told that Barnabas, at the very outset, was someone who showed what it was to be an influencer of people, because he, in fact, was given the name of Barnabas because of his gift of encouragement. I wonder what sort of nicknames you've been given. I can think back to some of the nicknames that I have had in the past, in particular in relationship to my hairstyle. You may not believe this, but at one time I had a really big crop of hair. And so one of the nicknames that I used to be called was Fuzz because of the mop of hair that I had. Time has had an effect upon my hairstyle, and certainly it would not be a case now that Fuzz would be the right name for me to be given. But to be given a name called Encourager must be really amazing and testimony to the way in which this man lived his life. See, this identified him. This gift that he carried, it was something that was so obvious and so real in his life that it, in fact, was what immediately people associated with him. When people look at you, when people look at me, how do they associate us? In what way do they see us? How do we come across? Are there certain gifts that we reveal and that as people look at us, they automatically think of those particular qualities or those particular gifts? Do people see us as loving? Do people see us as helpful? Do people see us as encouraging? Do people see us as a listener? Do people see us as wise? There are all sorts of identities that we can have that people will see in us. And the important thing is for us to carry identities that reflect Jesus and that we are his followers. You see, one of the things that identified Jesus was the fact that he was a man of compassion. Time and again, that was stated about him, that he was moved with compassion. Compassion radiated from his life. And of course, his very name Jesus was given to him because it was a declaration that he would become a savior and set people free from their sin. And we can live in the knowledge that that has happened in our lives, that as a result of putting our faith in Jesus, we have indeed been saved and set free. So when you think about your own life, the question I want to ask you is, how do people identify you? What do they see in you? Is it something that's positive? Is it something that you feel does create that opportunity for you to be able to share about Jesus and that you are a follower of his? See, sometimes our very actions deny the fact that coming to Jesus changes and transforms lives. We have to ensure that our actions and our words reflect that we are Jesus people who have been touched and influenced and impacted as a result of coming to Jesus in faith. The second thing that we're told about Barnabas, and we find these verses in Acts 4, 36 to 37, as he is introduced to us, is that he was a man who was prepared to invest in people. And the investment was a very practical one. We're told that he owned property and that he sold that property and the proceeds he brought and presented to the apostles for use in the early church. You see, he wanted to be able to invest in the lives of others. He wanted to be able to invest in supporting and helping the needy. He wanted to be able to invest in the growth and development of the early church, and that involved sacrifice. Yet he was willing to pay that sacrifice and to face up to that cost in order that through the investment he made, others might be blessed. Now, it may well be that we don't have material things to be able to sell and to invest with, but we all have gifts that we can invest into people's lives with. We have gifts that God has given to us in order that they might be shared and that they may help others. And I wonder what you are investing as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. What are you doing? What are you involved in? What are you giving of your gifts in order that the work of God may progress and that the kingdom of God may come? See, in the church, we need to recognize that we're all called to be involved. We're all called to invest of our time and our efforts and our gifts. And it's so easy for us to isolate ourselves away from that responsibility to become people who give of ourselves in order that the work of God might progress and grow. It's true to say that we do need the investment of material things and financial things, but also we do need the investment of people who are willing to give of their talents and their abilities in order that the work of God might progress and grow. Now, I want to ask you a question. What are you investing in the life of the church? What are you investing in the life of the kingdom? And that investment, how is that being revealed? Whose lives is it touching? How is it bringing about change and transformation? Certainly, as Barnabas brought this investment to the early church, then it enabled the early church to do things they would never be able to do without that investment being there. Do you realize that without the investment that you need to bring, then there will be things that will not be able to be accomplished? There will be aspects of the church life that will be poorer as a result of that investment not coming in. As a result of you holding back from becoming what Jesus wants you to become in the life of the church, then the church has an impact in a way that is not as effective as it would have been because you are not involved in the way that you could be. So I want to challenge us all to look at what investment we are bringing into the life of the church and into the life of God's kingdom, because Barnabas, the encourager, brought encouragement through the investment he made in the lives of others. He also was a man of influence, and we see that throughout his life. I am reminded that when I go and put on aftershave, then that has influence. And the reason it has influence is because the scent of it is carried around. I've noticed that if I put on one of my favorite aftershaves, which is Old Spice, that when I come near to people, people do notice. Now, it's not necessarily everybody's favorite fragrance, but nevertheless, that fragrance will have influence, whether it's for good or for bad. See, we all have influence, and our influence can be good or bad. When we live out our lives, then we will come into touch with people who we will influence in one way or another. And when we look at the life of Barnabas, he was so influential. He was involved with people. He came alongside people. We see his influence was such as at another time we'll look at this. He was the one that introduces and brings the Apostle Paul into the center of the life of the early church. And in many ways, he probably was the one that in some respects released Paul's ministry. He was also influential when there came a point where Mark, who had unfortunately at one point given up on church service, was once again wanting to get involved in church service. And indeed, as a result of that decision, Paul and Barnabas, they actually have a dispute with each other. So influence is something that we all have. And when we come to gather together, whether it be online or whether it be in a physical sense, we are having influence. We're having influence as we speak. We're having influence as we act. We're having influence in the way that we live our lives, in the reputation that we have. All of that has influence. And this is something that we've seen as we've considered the life of Queen Elizabeth II, how influential she was. And sometimes the influence was not in a major public way, but in a word spoken to an individual, in just a small act of kindness, so that influence had an impact and an effect. And I know that we need to be people who are influential in our church and in our community and in our world, to ask God to help us to be influential, to be able to fulfill the purpose and the plans he has for us, so that as we influence others, they want to discover what we've discovered, which is being a follower of Jesus brings forgiveness and release. When we go out and when we meet with people, whether it be in a restaurant or whether it be in a sports hall, wherever it may be, to be able to carry an influence which creates that curiosity where people want to ask what it is about us that seems to be different. I'm very much aware that when I worked in the insurance industry, very often questions would be asked because it was picked up there were certain things that I either didn't do or didn't say. And there was curiosity as why, for instance, I didn't swear. And that led to the opportunity to sharing how that being a follower of Jesus has an impact upon not only the way I live, but on the things that I say. He was a man of influence. But also we can see from the life of Barnabas that he was not only a man of influence, but he also was a man of integrity. He didn't just speak the words, he lived the life. It's interesting that as we look at the Word of God, we see that chapter 4 gives us a background to the life of Barnabas, who sells property and brings the gift to the apostles, and then moves straight into the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and how that in their case, they gave an impression of being something they were not. With Barnabas, he was a man of integrity. What you saw is what you got. And we need to be people of integrity. We need to be people who are not only readers of the word, but we are doers of the word as well. Is our life one of integrity and honesty? It's not so much what is seen in the public arena that counts, but it's what happens in the private arena that counts. See, with Barnabas, he was absolutely open and absolutely truthful. With Ananias and Sapphira, the key is that what they showed in public was not what was happening in private. They wanted to appear something they were not. And it's very easy for us to give that public view of being people that are people of integrity. But the key is, what are we like behind closed doors? How are we living out our faith in those times when we are not being watched and where people don't see us? Are we people of integrity and honesty? Do our lives in public demonstrate how we live in private? How is our relationship with our family, with our partners? How's our relationship when we're meeting with those who are not yet Christians? How do we live out our lives in the workplace? How do we live out our lives in the times of recreation? I'm very aware of one of the weaknesses in my own life is my response sometimes to when I'm losing in a competitive game, or indeed even my response when I am winning in a competitive game. You see, we need to be people of integrity, and that is what Barnabas was. A man who not only spoke about what it was to follow Jesus and the impact and the change it brings, but who lived that out in his life in every way and in every action. And so we come to that place where we can truly say that as we look at Barnabas, we see a man who inspires us. And that is also true as we consider Queen Elizabeth II. As we look at her life, it is inspiring. It is inspiring to think that at a very young age, she dedicated her life to service. And then for over 70 years, she kept that word. She kept that promise that she made not only to us as a nation, but to God as well. It inspires us when we look at how she was willing to give of herself in such an awesome way. And that as a result of her giving herself to the service of the nation, so it had a lasting legacy upon us all. And so are we an inspiration? When people look at our lives, does it inspire them to become people who want to give more of themselves, to dedicate themselves to the service of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? See, inspiration becomes a spur. Inspiration becomes the means by which people really become enthused and desire to, in many respects, walk in the steps of the one who has inspired them. But of course, the greatest inspiration of all is Jesus himself. He is the one that shows us what it is to live a life where we follow and are obedient to the commands and to the charge that God brings to us to be people of God's kingdom who touch and affect God's world. And so As we consider Barnabas and we will look at his life further over the coming weeks, let's recognize that, first of all, he did impact people in a way that was positive and had a real effect upon their lives. And to ask the question, how are we impacting people? Secondly, he was one who had this identity, the identity that reflected who he was. He was Barnabas, the encourager. What identity do we have when people look at us? Then we see that he had a willingness to invest in the lives of others, to invest in the life of the church. What investment are we making in the life of the church and in the lives of others? He was someone that was influential, and as a result, it touched people's lives. How are we influencing people? And what a impact and effect is that having upon those who are looking at us? And then he was someone of integrity. Do we live out our lives in such a way that what is shown in public reflects what is lived in private? And then finally, Barnabas inspires us. I trust that as we look at each other, we will inspire each other. But more than that, let's look to Jesus and to see what an inspiration his life is and to seek to follow it as best we can. May the Lord bless you.